This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Deanne Penn. In this week's program, make communities more resilient to future climate shocks, a senior official with the UN's Environment Fund urges governments. And a Nepalese UN police chief says children in South Sudan are the country's future. But first, the man in charge of blue helmets serving at the UN's deadliest peacekeeping mission, which is facing serious shortfalls in equipment and personnel, has pledged to succeed if he's given the tools to do the job. Force commander of the UN Stabilization Mission in Mali or MINUSMA, Major General Jean-Paul de Koninck, was speaking on the first day of the UN Peacekeeping Defense Ministerial Conference held this week in Vancouver, Canada. Matt Wells was at the conference and asked Major General de Koninck why he'd come to Canada.
The aim of this side event was to give an update on what I need as force command in MINUSMA to succeed in my mission.
There are very tangible things that you need, aren't there? And this is a life and death issue for the troops who answer to you, the blue helmets.
There are needs to cope with the threat, to mitigate the risk. I have to simultaneously protect the people, protect my people, protect the population, and carry out my mission. I want to put my main effort in the central region of Mali, and therefore I need more flexibility, more mobility, more effectiveness. So what I need is to enhance the global training level of all the units involved in MINUSMA. I want to enhance the training level of the people coming in, so that's about pre-deployment training. But I need also, let's say, medical coverage to operate in whole Mali, especially in the central region. And I need definitely helicopters to be more flexible and mobile.
And were you encouraged by what you heard from ministers and from top military personnel who were gathered here to listen to you?
Yes, I think I could pass my message, which is we are carrying on a mission which is difficult. We are facing huge security challenges, not only in harsh conditions, but also facing terrorism. And to do that, I have to count on all the contributing countries with troops or with equipment or with training.
And were there renewed pledges tonight?
Confirmation of some pledges, and I heard some new pledges also. Only confirmation of what I could expect from some countries. There were still, political decisions to be made.
So as the man in charge, are you confident that MINUSMA can succeed?
We will succeed. We will succeed. I'm optimistic but always realistic. If I have the means, I will perform my mission. We will succeed. But it is not only about MINUSMA. It's about partners. And who are those partners? First of all, the Malian Army. And I'm speaking as military. And second, all the international missions deployed in Mali or around Mali. Let's say the training mission of Europe, the French Operation Barkhane, but also the J5 Sahel, which is now building up in and around Mali.
Governments have a huge responsibility in ensuring that communities can respond to rising sea levels or other impacts of climate change, according to a senior official with the UN Environment Programme, or UNEP. UNEP's Deputy Executive Director, Ibrahim Cho, believes this preparation is especially critical for African countries whose economies rely heavily on agriculture and fisheries. Mr. Cho was in Bonn this week for the latest UN climate change conference known as COP23. He spoke to Mustafa Al-Gamal following a session on climate resilience held on Tuesday.
The world is in shock today with extreme events, and we need to build better, and we need to organize ourselves so that when another event occurs, and there will be more, that we do not see the destruction, the level of destruction that we have observed today. It is very important for local communities that make their living on agriculture to know that they will have to adapt to conditions whereby in 1 year they may have a drought, and in the same year they may have floods. And these waves of multiple shocks are foreseen by scientists as increasing in the future.
In the discussion, there was a focus on Africa, where many communities are not as resilient. What should government do in that regard to become more resilient?
First of all, governments will have to put in place regulations and norms and to communicate to communities so that they know what is going on. They need to be better prepared as communities, and governments have a huge responsibility in improving the preparedness of these communities. We see that in Africa, the Sahel, Eastern Africa, Southern Africa are being hit by severe droughts. And anytime there's a drought, the economy goes down. Why? Because Africa is a continent that lives primarily from the primary sector, from agriculture, from fisheries and so forth. And these shocks, they bring the level of production down. And whenever the production is down, the economy is down. So it will be very important for governments first to understand, and for communities to be better informed, but at the same time, for the private sector to come in, because it will be important for the private sector to invest on infrastructures, on agricultural programs that can resist to these shocks.
And speaking of business, how do we bring the private sector into this equation?
The private sector is already there. Most of the funding of development is coming from the private sector. What has to happen as of now is for everybody to understand that the paradigm is shifting. So investing on projects that are fossil fuel based is not good business anymore. The best private sector companies are those whose CEOs are able to anticipate and have a vision so that to invest on projects that will not be destroyed by the first disaster to come.
Children in South Sudan must not be deprived of their right to quality education. That's the passionate view of Shambu Upreti, who commands the Nepal Formed Police Unit, or FPU, currently supporting conflict-affected school children in South Sudan as part of the UN mission there, UNMISS. Since the outbreak of major civil conflict in 2013, many children have been forced to go to school in UN Protection of Civilian Sites, or as they're known, POC sites. Mr. Opreti spoke with Mark Samuel about how Nepalese peacekeepers and the UN can help dissolve conflict and create a peaceful environment at last for children.
Our FPU Nepal has been assigned as a security duty and engagement duty with POC site. So every day, 24/7, we have to leave them. We have to make our day passing with them. So just this is the hot touching matter, you know. We are seeing that they are facing the several problems. That's why just I think there is a school, primary school, and even people, small children like my son, daughter, like they are sitting the in, you know, soil, and without having the good material of educational material, or they don't have more than 80 people can sit, small children. I think I can imagine that they are South Sudan's future. Mm-hmm. They have the responsibility to build up the nation. That's why they must not be deprived.
You said you look at those girls and those young boys at the POC like your sons and your daughters back home in Nepal.
Yeah.
That is from the heart of humanity.
Yeah.
After you delivered all those materials, scholastic materials to those children, we understand everyone was happy. The children were happy. The teachers were also very, very happy. So what was your objective of sending all these scholastic materials?
My country, Nepal, also have been suffering the conflict. And more than 10 years, our people were suffered. And I have bad experience. You know, my country's experiences is applying here.
We understand that the Nepalese FPU here in Bor have been also engaging these people in the POC, in agriculture, and many other productive things. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. You know, not only agriculture, you know, inside the POC, we have a demonstrate one agricultural farm, like greenery home. At least other people from POC can learn from there. Yeah, if they need, we will have a plan to deliver them seeds, some type of seeds. Mm-hmm. They can do it. Other thing, you know, the people inside the POC, they have been suffering for the many type of disease. So they don't have enough medical facility. So we have some facility. We have a doctor. We have a skill. So why should not they be supported? We used to have conducting the, medical camp.
Mm.
Even pregnant women and other children also suffering, so our doctor used to go there and supporting the POC doctor.
You've been listening to UN and Africa. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Deanne Penn.